You are now listening to the Black Girl Nerds podcast.
Five, six, seven, eight. Holla, boys and girls, it's the BGN. Coming from the Marvel world to the DC friends. All the way from Hollywood to the PCN. She defends everyone from sleazy men. Won't apologize for spitting Shonda Rhimes. The space that we make is never colonized. Talking games and movies and actors. Words. Better shake your booties for Black Girl Nerds. Better shake your booties for Black Girl Nerds. Yeah. Better shake your booties for Black Girl Nerds. Better shake your booties for Black Girl Nerds. Better shake your booties for Black Girl Nerds.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Black Girl Nerds podcast. My name is Jamie and I am your host. We are excited to bring to you today's guest, visionary director R.T. Thorne, a storyteller known for his cinematic eye, world-building imagination, and commitment to authentic representation. He's had a body of work spanning TV hit series like Utopia Falls and Find Me in Paris, and now you can catch his feature film debut with the movie 40 Acres. And we saw this film out of the Toronto International Film Festival, and trust me, it's going to blow you away. 40 Acres is about a series of plagues and wars that leave society in ruins. The character, the Freemans, are surviving, even thriving on a farm in the middle of nowhere, so long as they repel the occasional raiding party. Former soldier Haley, played by the wonderful Danielle Deadwyler, and her partner Galen, played by Michael Greyeyes, fled the collapse along with their children, training them to fight and, yes, kill. So, without further ado, sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of the Black Girl Nerds podcast featuring director R.T. Thorne. RT, thanks so much for taking the time to speak to Black Girl Nerds. I really appreciate the conversation. It's always a pleasure to have you on our platform to talk about your projects.
Yeah. That's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be on. So, you know, I love talking to you.
And you know, we're no stranger to 40 Acres. We've talked about this film before, and I'm happy to talk to you again about it because it's such a powerful film. It's resonated with our audience. And the title itself, 40 Acres, it carries deep, significant historical weight. How did you approach reimagining that legacy in a modern cinematic text?
I mean, you know, look, my mother has a long, you know, I say a long history of just making sure that while we were growing up, that we, you know, we knew about our people's history in general, across the board, of the Black diaspora. And you know, my mom's from Trinidad. She came to Canada as an immigrant and faced a lot of discrimination, but she was very well educated, and she was like, you know, look, you know, I don't trust these institutions in this country to teach you about your history, about your culture, where you're from. So you're going to learn that. And so, you know, she made us do book reports, you know, just like Haley makes all the kids do book reports in the movie, you know, just to read and be informed and be critical thinkers about your history, your culture, you know, all the things that mean truthfully what survival is. So, you know, when it came to me wanting to tell a story about protecting land and the importance of that, you know, the history of the denial of land to, you know, people of African descent on this continent, you know, is something that is, we all know and understand that in some sense. But it just felt like, you know, this family, I wanted to position them into a place where they are defending land that is rightfully theirs. So I had to reference that history. I had to look back to that history, explore it, and find a way for this family in this in particular, you know, as Haley describes it to Manny in the film, their ancestors came up, escaped a plantation in Georgia, came up to the Underground Railroad and landed in Canada. And that's where they claimed their 40 acres. So I wanted to pay tribute to, you know, the many people that came up through the Underground Railroad and came into Canada and that journey. And then I wanted to, you know, say that this family is so resilient. They have held this land till the time that the film takes place in, which is this, you know, it's sometime in the next 15 minutes, you know, and I wanted to sort of, you know, suggest that, you know, you have to know your history in this time of erasure.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And so in the film represents that. The people that are coming there are not only, you know, discrediting whatever property lines are there. They're just, you know, they have no regard for the life that exists there, the history that exists there, and they're literally coming to consume everything. So, Yeah. So you know, it made sense, this sort of, you know, call to the past, and then to state the importance for the family in the film, and not to mention, you know, obviously the relationship between the indigenous community and the Black community. And
I loved that. I love that aspect, because we don't see these kinds of stories with these communities synthesized together like that.
Yeah.
And this film is so timely. It's a film that we really need in our cultural zeitgeist right now. Can you talk about the world building process of 40 Acres? Like, what kind of research or creative influences help shape its tone and aesthetic?
Right. I mean, look, I'm a comic book nerd at heart. You know what I mean? So I
love it.
Yeah. So I grew, you know, you know what it is. I mean, we have kinship here, you know.
Yes.
You know, your guys' platform is wonderful in exploring that and allowing, you know, like I grew up reading, you know, X-Men and at the same time I was reading X-Men, I was reading the autobiography of Malcolm X, you know what I mean? Mm. And so my mom was sort of like informing me of history that wasn't quite being taught in my high school, but I was reading, you know, these comic books and I was like, oh my goodness, like, you know, the X-Men is a clear allusion to the civil rights movement. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's very much so. Professor X and the marginalized mutants, they are a reference to, you know, Martin Luther King and his efforts in the civil rights movement. You know, and then Magneto, who is also a mutant, but has a different, more militant point of view. He's obviously sort of an allusion to Malcolm X. So all of these things were kind of like in my head when I was thinking. And when you talk about world building, I knew that I wanted to tell a story that was historically informed, but I wanted to tell something in the future. I wanted to put us in the future. I wanted to put my peoples in the future. And I wanted to see a future where it's going to be hard. That's, you know, without struggle, you know, there's not that much drama. So I wanted to put them in a struggle situation, but I wanted to put them in a situation where they're thriving. They are the family that everybody's calling to help them, you know. They're in the best position forward. And so I thought back to, you know, the idea of I came up in Alberta. So it's kind of the Midwest in Canada. And spent, you know, my early childhood there, and my father worked in the produce industry. So I would often go to farms. We didn't have a farm, but I was farm adjacent, and I would go to farms with him and you know, see how people really relied on the land, took care of the land, and the land produced for them. And that kind of relationship, that symbiotic relationship, was very, very kind of ingrained in my head about the importance of it. So I felt like I wanted to tell a story about Black farmers. You know, that's another sort of vocation that we tend not to really hear too much about. And so I wanted to tell that story, the importance of that, We came from that, you know. And so I really thought about those types of farms that I grew up in, kind of isolated farms. And then I just started thinking about, you know, what happens when the world starts to break down, and we got a real smack in the face example of it when the pandemic hit, you know. And I realized, you know, around my area we were not able to get fresh produce at all. And it really hit home for me. Do I actually have the skills to provide for my family if this infrastructure that we have starts to fall apart? You know what I mean? We kind of rely on food just being at the grocery store for us when we want to go. But when that dries up, or if that dries up, God forbid, do we all have the skills to raise food from the ground, you know, and take care of it? Do we all understand how to take care and defend our family if need be? So these things became sort of instrumental, and I thought a really wonderful place to put is, I didn't want zombies. I wanted it to be grounded. I didn't want anything.
Yeah.
There's no aliens in this movie. There's no monsters in this movie. The monsters are people. and that's a reality. You know what
that
I mean?
Is.
And especially when you strip away one of the things that I think is keeping us civil, which is keeping us from a primal place. Because animals exist in a primal place. They exist in a state of constant hunger. And they just do whatever is needed in order to survive. If you were to return humans to that position, I guarantee you, there's going to be some monsters out there, you know.
I feel like we're hanging on by a thread. I feel like we're kind of almost hitting.
Yeah. We're not even that. We don't even have famine hitting us right now. So.
Right.
Yeah. But that's where it all stemmed from, to have the world built on a place of hunger. Mm-hmm. And therefore nothing else matters, you know, for people, but their survival. And that's where the sort of world building stemmed out of it.
First of all, I love that X-Men is like a kind of a cultural touch point for you in this film. In a time where Afrofuturism and Black speculative fiction are thriving, where do you see 40 Acres fitting in or standing apart?
Hmm. Oh, wow. That's really interesting. I mean, look, I think it just adds to the canon. I feel like, you know, what I wanted to do specifically with it was do something, as I've said, that is historically informed. It has allusions to the past, and it has lots of things that people can go and sort of dive deeper into and look at, you know, as we've mentioned, you know, obviously the 40 Acres name and history, but the relationship between indigenous communities and Black communities, there's a lot of really amazing and beautiful stories to be told. And I hope that people dive into that. I hope that people see a different version of Afrofuturism. While this is one that's still rooted in struggle and very, you know, like I said, 15 minutes, you know, in the future, I hope that people see a family that is vibrant, that is powerful, that is human. They love each other deeply. They crack on each other. They have fun with each other at the same time as doing the things that they got to do to kick some ass. So I hope that adds a different dimension to maybe what we've seen thus far. You know, I really wanted to make a film that was all of those things intense, but also just was fun, man. Just was, had a roller coaster ride to it. And I hope that more films like that come out where we have the exuberance of cinema, you know, added to the canon of what we do out here. Because I think our history and our futures can be a wide breadth of stuff, man. Like, you know, and I love going to a theater and holding my breath and like yelling at the screen too, at people making dumb decisions, and you know, and then cheering at the end, you know. That those are the things that I, you know, they're stuck in my brain from when I was a teenager, sneaking into movies and going to see stuff. So that's the kind of film that I wanted to present for everybody.
I love it. I mean, when I think of within the cultural landscape of Black speculative fiction, there was just little tinges and hints of Octavia Butler's Parable of a Sower. Oh, yeah. In your film, and that was so refreshing and beautiful to see, because again, that's culturally relevant to what's happening right now. It's kind of scary. Seeing how all of these events are unfolding. Who are the filmmakers, writers, and thinkers who have influenced your approach to this project, if any?
Yeah, I mean, Octavia, absolutely. You know, I read Parable when I was just coming up on my, you know, up to my 20 years. And so it was a big, big influence on me. You know, contemporary people, Jordan Peele is a big influence, just how he uses horror and humor within his films and what he does. You know, Steven Spielberg, early Steven Spielberg, E.T.
I just saw Jaws recently, and I'm just amazed at just the masterpiece that film is. The cinematography, the intention to detail.
Yes.
And how he frames the story in that.
Yes.
Film.
Yes. A true master and a master of the roller coaster ride of a film. You know what I mean?
Yes. It
really gives you a film that takes you on a ride. And that's a beautiful thing, to be caught up in the storytelling of something. And you know, yeah, I'm always learning from going back and looking at some of his work. Let me think of some other influences. I mean, Night of the Living Dead, the original, was something.
George Romero's, nice.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I don't think it actually even made our deleted scenes, but we shot a scene where the kids are actually watching that movie. We got the rights to actually have them watching it. And, you know, it was something that I remember as a young kid going to my cousin's house, and, you know, they had all these VHS tapes and we would just watch these films, and, you know, so it was something that I put into the movie, but it didn't make the cut. But yeah, I mean, just some of the, you know, social and political discussion built into that film through exploring it through horror was really instrumental. I'm trying to think if there's plenty. I mean, that's a little sprinkling of some of the stuff.
As a director, how did you guide the cast to inhabit a world that's rooted in history and speculative in its vision?
I think we had a small list of some things that, you know, that I reference in the film and sort of like that they should check out, or that we would talk about a little bit while we were making it. I mean, the film is rooted in this family surviving, but you know, as I probably said before, one of the major components of their survival is their preservation of who they are. And so that means the exploration of their past and the preservation of their culture in the present of the film. So, you know, it's very much, you know, as we went through the film, I talked about the dinner scenes, you know, not only being a place of family where family can have discussion, but also, you know, an exploration of their food practices. You know what I mean? And so there's a lot of indigenous cuisine mixed with African American cuisine in there. they're obviously, you know, vegans. So there's an aspect to that, or vegetarians, I suppose. Yeah. you know, agricultural practices were a big thing. Art is a big thing of reference in the film. You hear about, you know, literature and music being a big thing for them. You know, the preservation of language for Galen and the daughters is important. The Cree language, them speaking it when they get into a crisis mode, they revert back to what they naturally speak, you know. And then Haley is constantly reminding them of their own history, whether the familial history or what they've come from. So all of these things are elements, I think, that are vital for people of African descent to preserve ourselves, to survive ourselves. This is how we survive, you know.
Right.
All of the things that we have been through, the quite frankly, and I'm going to steal something from Michael Gray Eyes. He said, you know, he paraphrased, he was asked in this interview, he said, somebody asked him how he deals with apocalyptic times, how do indigenous people deal with it? And he said, indigenous people have already been through the apocalypse. We've been through our apocalypse already. They have tried to erase us. They took us from our lands, and it's a very similar story, the people of African descent. You know what I mean? We've lived through our apocalypse. They have tried to destroy us before. So, you know, the idea is the preservation of who we are, whether it be through oral storytelling or our music or our culture, has persisted. And that has been an important element of how we have survived and how we have retained our identities. So that's a very important part of the film, and that is how they do it. And that's why they, you know, I could have just had the family out there kicking ass, but it is these cultural touch points that remind them of who they are and give them a base to work from. And so, yeah.
I mean, it's palpable. Just knowing that that is the shared history between these two marginalized groups is what hits so hard in this film. And it makes me yearn to see more stories of these two groups together. And I'm just surprised that we haven't seen that before. So it's so good that 40 Acres is here to show us this story. And I'm really excited about this project for you, and I hope more people get to see it. My last question for you is, what's next for you? Like, are there any stories similar to this that you'd like to explore, or what do you want to do something in a different genre?
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's a great question. look, I have many stories about the Freeman family. Like, you know, when we were writing this, there's you know, there's a lot of history that's there for them, and there's several other sort of ideas that I wrote nearly 40 drafts of this script with my co-writer Glenn Taylor, and so we went off on some crazy tangents. I'll tell you, we really had the approach of just like, we're gonna walk anything down the road and see where it goes. So I have some different stories, you know, for another adventure in this time, for this family. But yeah, I'm interested in exploring like a lot of different facets of Black experience and Black life. And I just don't want to have any limits on them. So I just, you know, I would love to dabble in some other genres. Obviously this one is sort of a genre mashup a bit, and I kind of like doing that. So you might see something that's, you know, you might see something that's unexpected in the future, but still in the same feel, you know, just exploring our humanity, but through some interesting genre pieces. Yeah.
I like it. Keep us guessing. And I like the fact that you don't box yourself into a genre. That's what makes it unique and authentic and, you know, refreshing and different. And I love original stories. I love that we're finally getting some original content coming out
of Hollywood. Right?
Finally, you know, hopefully that, you know, Hollywood will be like, oh, wow, this is actually working for us. Yeah. Let's produce and green light more of these projects.
That's what I'm saying. We don't listen. I'm not saying you don't got to make your little tent poles, your big tent pole, your $200 million movies, but maybe make one less and then make 20 $10 million movies. You know what I mean? Just, you know,
right.
Take a shot. Take a shot on some different storytelling. I feel like the audience is, I feel like we're all kind of like, oh, wow. You know, this year with Sinners, obviously, and
yes.
and Weapons, and
yes.
and even now with P.T. Anderson, you know.
One battle after another.
You know, just come with some different tales, man. You know, and if it's great storytelling, I think people, you know, will show up and they're interested. Yeah. So
those are all Warner Brothers films. So I feel like that studio's onto something.
Yeah, right.
Well, RT, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to Black Girl Nerds. I really appreciate the conversation, and it's always a pleasure. And I look forward to talking to you on your next project.
Yes, yes. And I will just say, 40 Acres is out on Blu-ray and DVD right now. You know, it's out there in the stores. So get out to your, you know, to your local. I know it's at Walmart. It's got to be at Walmart, but it's out there.
Well, everybody shops at Walmart, so you got to pick it up when you go to Walmart.
You know what I mean? And there's a couple of little things on there. There's some deleted scenes for y'all. So we put a couple of scenes out there for you that weren't in the film.
Absolutely worth checking it out. Incredible film. Loved it when I was at TIFF. Watched it again. It's also a film like you can watch on repeat viewings and just appreciate it even more the second time around, the third time around. So yeah, guys, check out 40 Acres. Incredible work. And RT, much appreciated. We love you here at Black Girl Nerds. So congratulations.
I love y'all too, man. Y'all were first up in the queue, man, at TIFF. love. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
The Black Girl Nerds podcast is produced by Jamie Broadnax. The opening theme song to our show is written and performed by Samus. Various instrumentals are performed by Samus, Sky Blue, and Shubzilla. You can find various episodes of the Black Girl Nerds podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Audioboom, Google Play Music, and Spotify.